This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
The following is a live copyrighted presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for RadioLawTalk.com with your host, Frederick Penny, attorney at law. And now, RadioLawTalk.com.
Welcome, listeners. You've got Denise Dirk standing in for Frederick Penny, who is on assignment today. With me is Todd Coonan, our illustrious criminal attorney, and he's a defense attorney. He has a turncoat because he used to be a prosecutor. Right, Todd?
Did you say illustrious or lustrous?
You can take it the way you want.
Illustrious, either. I love the law. Yes, I guess I am. I guess I am a turncoat of sorts, some people would say. I don't know.
But that's a common transition, isn't it? A lot of people go from being assistant or deputy DAs and hop on over to the other side of the table. How does that work? Doesn't it seem rather odd, best to someone on the outside like me, to think, wait a minute, here you are, A, going after bad guys, and now B, you're going, don't worry, I'll take care of you. I'll take care of you. How does that work, Denise?
It makes perfect sense to do that because as a prosecutor, you have a lot of trials, you get a lot of experience, you get to find out the law, you have the DA behind you that can help train you, you've got a lot of other attorneys you get to work with so that you're not on your own. And then once you get your skill set up, then you turncoat. You go to be a defense attorney, and you have the same skills that you can just translate to the defense, and you kind of know what the prosecution's going to do because you've been there, done that, and you can be the best criminal defense attorney that you could be.
I'd imagine a lot of practical experience, too, Todd, and what the courts will put up with and what they won't, and what the, I mean, even though the law's the law and people think it's black and white, what the reality of how the law is enforced and handled in the courts is that not true?
Well, that's true, and a lot of it has nothing to do with the law per se. It has to do with every court has its own procedures, own way of doing things. In one jurisdiction, you show up on a Friday, if you're going to go to trial, you show up on a Friday, you're assigned out to trial the next week, you know where to go. If you're going to challenge a judge, you know how to file it, you know what those procedures are there. In another jurisdiction, they have something completely different. In another jurisdiction, the same judge handles the case from arraignment all the way up to trial based upon how things are. And so it's really just navigating your way through the procedures. As far as the, you know, what some people will call the moral conundrum of how do you go from putting the bad guys in jail to then trying to keep them out, look, 95% of all cases settle, and the biggest difference between the DA and the prosecution and the defense is agreeing on what the case is worth. And if I'm in a situation where, look, I'm not trying to say that my guy is not guilty. What I'm saying is he's not guilty of what you've charged. In a murder, he's not guilty of murder, he's guilty of manslaughter. And if he's guilty of manslaughter, then it should be 3, 4, or 5 years versus 15 to life, and you argue what those different things are just to make sure that the punishment fits the crime. But the biggest thing that I think, and this is something I used to tell the prosecutors when I trained them, is a lot of people will say to defense attorneys, how could you live with yourself? How do you live with yourself if you get a guilty guy set free? And for me, the bigger question and the more morally salient question is what goes out to prosecutors, which is this: how would you feel if, with all of your skill and trial and whatnot, you convicted somebody who was innocent? And for me, the bigger concern would be somebody prosecuting and convicting somebody of something that they didn't do. And we see that happen periodically where people are exonerated based upon DNA evidence. I think it's a far greater injustice that an innocent person spend time in prison for a crime they didn't commit than it is for somebody who is guilty of something to maybe avoid incarceration.
And I think underlying it all, you have to have faith in the system. You have to, you know, feel like no matter what happens, it's going to be fair and it's going to be equal as to other people. I think that's why defense attorneys get so adamant about being defense attorneys, is because they are the check and the balance, if you will, against the you know, government or the state, big brother, if you will, prosecuting people. And I think that that's also part of the hat you wear when you're being a defense attorney.
And isn't it also true that no matter whether you, I mean, if you're a defense attorney and you know your client's guilty, that the law requires, in order for it to, because it happens sometimes, I'm sure it does,
yeah,
but the law requires that that person be given the best defense possible under their circumstances. Mm-hmm. Or at least you would think that a protection of their rights would require that.
If you are protecting that right for somebody that is truly guilty and you work hard to do that, then in theory, that right will be protected for the person who is truly innocent, if it's provided for all of them. And Denise makes a really, really good point. We have these protections under the Fourth Amendment, the freedom from unreasonable search and seizure. And when the Founding Fathers put that into the Constitution, okay, we want to be free from unreasonable search and seizure. And you know what the laws of the land, the people are going to enforce, the police are going to enforce the laws of the land. The question here is, who seeks enforcement of the constitutional protections against unreasonable search and seizure? Who seeks enforcement of the right to a trial by jury, the right to confront witnesses, the right to not be compelled to be a witness against yourself, all of those basic rights in the first 10 amendments to the Constitution? And it's criminal defense attorneys are the ones that seek that.
Exactly.
Without criminal defense attorneys, nobody else is stepping up to say this right needs to be protected.
Who steps up for the person parking on the curb when a cops come by and mark it with their chalk? Unreasonable search and seizure, I ask you.
Yeah, that's an interesting one.
Wasn't that a great ruling? I read it and I thought, this is really fascinating to me.
That is interesting. And you know, I want to look that one up. Don't let us forget to cover that.
Yeah, that's a fair
I want to
one.
Cover that one. That was a case where a court made an interesting ruling about the chalk markers for meter maids,
yep,
that come around. Don't let us get away from that. That's a funny. That's a good case.
That's a really good case, and it's one that's like subtle in a way. It's very subtle.
Right, and yet, the judge said, "Look, what gives you the right to put a mark on somebody's car? You're invading their private space, that private property." I was just fascinated by it, that it all started when a woman said a traffic cop had a grudge against her, and then it kept going and going and going to this case that went to the Sixth Circuit Court, I think. The Sixth Circuit.
It did.
Yeah.
And something that we all love to talk about, of course, is when Cal gets to fool the attorneys by either having a fake case that he makes up or by having a real case that is so odd that we all get it wrong. So why don't we go ahead and roll case
now
or no case?
It's time
all
to
right.
play
all right.
Case
you asked for it.
Or no case.
Yay!
In 1981, in Augusta, Georgia.
Oh, Cal.
Yeah.
Really quickly.
Yeah, yeah,
really
yeah.
quickly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Did you say that this was going to be a double jeopardy round?
Oh,
and
yeah.
Do we need to wager before you give the facts?
And I will give you, because let's see, Todd, you have 26, Denise, you have 38. I will give you a 4-point limit today, so an 8-point swing. You're going to put these points at risk. If you're wrong, you lose the points. If you're right, you get 8 points. So this is a big deal.
Okay.
All right, Todd, what are you going to put up
risk.
At risk?
Given how far I am behind, I'm going to use the acronym GBOGH, go big or go home. I'm going to wager four.
All in.
All in.
Wow, good for
and
you.
I was going to be a little more conservative. I was going to wager two.
All right.
That means four at risk.
Yes.
Well, this is going to be fun, and we.
And this one is going to be themed on cats again. Is that correct?
No. Well, yes.
Yes, you teased it as a cat one.
I did a cat, but then.
kneading his hands against the thing, just waiting for that case or no case. Hey, remember, you guys can call in at 855-529-7234, which is 855-LAW-RADIO, or you can tweet us at Radio Law Talk, or you can hashtag us at Case or No Case.
We'll be right back.
All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com.
Jason Ross back here with Fred Penny, managing attorney from Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers. Now, Fred, what type of cases are you dealing with now, and what sets you apart?
Jason, we help people with all types of personal injury cases. We're former insurance company trial lawyers. We understand the other side, which gives us a distinct advantage over our competition. Remember, we don't get paid unless we win.
That's Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers with locations throughout California. For a free consultation, go to pennylawyers.com or give them a call, 1-800-616-4-LAW. That's PennyLawyers.com.
This is Denise Dirks. We can represent clients in divorce, legal separation, child and spousal support, custody, termination of parental rights, step-parent adoptions, guardianships, and even conservatorship matters. Call 1-877-886-7186 for a consultation.
The law offices of Denise L. Dirks provide family law services in Northern California. When the law affects your family, call 877-886-7186. The family of attorneys at Denise L. Dirks is here to help.
I am Cameron Levitt, Chief Operating Officer of Concussion Medical Clinic. California's first concussion medical clinic is now open. As concussions increase each year, there has never been a greater need for concussion specialists. Our physicians at Concussion Medical Clinic are board certified in pediatric neurology and sports medicine and have partnered with universities, hospitals, and rehab clinics to expedite the recovery process. Simply put, we are elevating the standard of care. When you need an expert concussion opinion or concussion care, visit Concussion Medical Clinic to schedule your appointment.
Hi, I'm Frederick Penny of Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers. I bet you're tired of hearing lawyer commercials, so just relax and listen to music for a few seconds. When you or a family member has been injured, call 800-616-4-LAW or see us at Penny.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Do
You're listening to RadioLawTalk.com. And now back to your host, Frederick Penny.
All right. This case, it's Denise Dirks hosting with Todd Coonan. And we are in the middle of a case or no case. So, Cal, can you give us a... Oh, wait a second. I put 4 points at risk, and Todd has put... You put 4 points at risk, and I put 2 points at risk.
Yes. And I think what we're going to do is we're basically going to start the whole bit again because we got sidetracked putting up our little, what are we putting at risk? So we're going to start
now
again.
Now it's time to play case or no case.
Yay!
All right, first I want to play for you this. This is Mishka. Mishka, the talking dog. If I can get Mishka's audio there. Okay, there. Mishka's a talking
How
dog.
How are you?
Say, how are you?
Are you good?
Now, Mishka can say 14 words. Mishka's an actual, and she responds. Now, it may just be who knows what, but nonetheless, the dog is a talking dog. Well, in 1981 in Augusta, Georgia, a man by the name of Carl Miles took his incredible talking cat, Blackie, out onto the street. Unlike some other animals that claim to talk, Blackie actually could talk. Carl and his wife Elaine made a nice little living off of Blackie and her two catchphrases, I love you and I want my mama, and I want my mama, by accepting cash on the street corners. And they made radio and TV appearances and, they tried to get in commercials and do all. In fact, it was such a good living that the state of Georgia informed them that they needed to file for a business license in order to continue pimping their horrifically meowing cat, or they would face jail time. The cat's owners decided to seek legal counsel on the grounds of free speech. And so I ask you, on the grounds of free speech, when people were paying to hear the cat talk, I don't know. Anyway, so I ask you, case or no case? Now, Mr. Coonan, I believe that Denise went first the last time.
She did.
And now you regret it, don't you?
No. So reminding him.
But we all know.
Todd has a kid.
So who's going after who here?
The state of Georgia is going after the owners of the cat, saying they have to, or the city of Augusta. Let's see. Let me look real quick. They made such good living that the state informed them they needed to get a business license to continue with their cat. And they said, if you don't, you're violating state law and you're going to have to go to jail.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I think the going to jail part is a bit draconian for failure to get a business license.
Well, it was 1981.
Yes, well, the times have changed. That was back in the height of the Cold War. How do we know your cat's not a communist?
Exactly.
So I am going to say that this is a case. This is a case, and I am going to say that the state prevails. I don't think that ultimately they could throw them in jail, but I think that they could require a license. Can I make it broad and just call it they require a license of some sort for them to do it, whether it's a business license, some people require a permit to be a street performer or whatnot, or do I have to agree that it was a business license?
And by the way, I'm looking now at the expanded version of this, and it says the city of Augusta was the ordinance under which the threat was made, not a state ordinance, so the city of Augusta. So I wanted to clarify that. So you're saying case, and you're saying that the city of Augusta prevails.
Based upon that additional information,
mm-hmm.
No case.
No case. Wow.
No case. Okay. I'm doing an about face, and I'm going to say no case. I think you are making I think that there was a cat that could speak, I'm saying, based on a true story, but everything else is fictitious. I'm going with no case.
All right. Fair enough. Ms. Dirks, what say you?
Well, I would have said no case if it was the state of Georgia trying to enforce a business license, because I think business licenses are more local. And so it makes more sense to me that City of Augusta is going to be the one that's going to try to enforce this ordinance,
right? Yeah.
And or whatever it is.
Well, it would be an ordinance. City laws, in quotes, are ordinances.
You have to have the business license, and usually that's a localized business license.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that you first said Georgia to try to trick us, and then came back to say City of Augusta to make it seem, oh, this could be a case. I'm going to say no case.
Oh, man. Really?
Yes.
So both of you are saying that I made this all up out of kitty fur.
Yes.
Yes, we are.
It was for me, it was when you went back and said, well, when I'm looking at the expanded version of this story, it's just, Cal, it was too much detail. Too much detail, and I think that you're trying to pull the kitty fur over our eyes. Look, and I do agree that cats can make a lot of money. It wasn't this case, but I did look something up while this happened. Remember Grumpy Cat?
Yes.
Remember Grumpy Cat? Grumpy Cat is reported to have a net income of $100 million.
I took a picture of myself with a Grumpy Cat book and posted it at Christmas time. I thought it was hilarious.
So you can't...
Oh, I do. I remember seeing you sitting in the chair and you're reading Grumpy Cat.
Making the same face.
So you can...
Grumpy Cat.
I have yet to find a way to monetize my cats. I've got one of them that's got personality. The other two are pretty much just, you know, food goes in here, and let's not interrupt that process, okay? And so that's
it. And let's mess up the bed.
Well, no, they take advantage of the bed that's already previously messed up.
Yeah, they're just cats after
all. I mean, come on. How much time do we got left? Do we want to tease this one through the hour?
I could tease out of this, but I also think I could give you the answer, even though it's a bit complicated. Because there was a critical element to this that both of you missed, that I did make clear, and that they filed the case on the basis of freedom of speech. Do you recall that?
I recall
that. Yes, I do recall that. But cats don't have a freedom of speech rights.
Oh, Denise, you are so smart.
Dang.
And this is for those of you who say it was not a case. May I see both of your hands? Oh, you lost the points.
Oh, my gosh.
The judge ruled. Man, maybe they're being a little heavy-handed with this business license, but a cat can't speak, and if the cat could have freedom of speech, he would be in here speaking for himself. That's what the judge ruled. It was, in fact, the case, and that, ladies and gentlemen... So, Todd, you lost four. Denise, you lost two.
Yes. No, I thought I lost more than that. I think two at risk. Isn't it a double?
Yeah, it was. Was it?
Oh, no, because we said no case.
Right.
We had said case.
So okay. You lost two cases.
So,
it's a four-point swing because you either go plus or minus two. And, Todd, you lost four.
Yes.
And that's case or no case. And we've got a minute left in the segment here, so.
And you know what that means? That it pays not to be here, Fred.
Yeah, I know. Although, you know, during this round, I have missed at least one. I didn't gain any points when I missed, and you know, so I have. This has been a tough round for me. Are we going to 100 on this case or no case? Or are we going to 50?
Well, it doesn't matter. I'm really late. We got to go. I apologize, guys. Here we go. We'll head off and we'll
stay with us. We'll be right back.
All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com.
Not all law firms have extensive experience in all areas of the law. It's wise to look for firms that have knowledge and understanding in your particular area of concern. So go to prolawfirms.com. They have listings of attorneys in key areas of practice, such as family law, estate planning, personal injury, bankruptcy, and so forth. When you're looking for a lawyer that has extensive experience in your particular area of need, go to prolawfirms.com. That's prolawfirms.com.
Prolawfirms.com is not a law firm and does not endorse or recommend any specific law firm.
The cost of getting rid of garbage is high, and recycling products is lucrative. If you're a business or know of a business that needs an individual compactor or baler, call Northwest Compacting at 888-201-0911. If you already have an industrial compactor, baler, or shredder and need service, don't forget to call Northwest Compacting at 888-201-0911. Northwest Compacting, your full-service industrial compacting and baling company. Read more about them at northwestcompacting.com.
Jason Ross back here with Fred Penny, managing attorney from Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers. Now, Fred, what type of cases are you dealing with now, and what sets you apart?
Jason, we help people with all types of personal injury cases. We're former insurance company trial lawyers. We understand the other side, which gives us a distinct advantage over our competition. Remember, we don't get paid unless we win.
That's Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers with locations throughout California. For a free consultation, go to pennylawyers.com or give them a call, 1-800-616-4-LAW. That's PennyLawyers.com.
USA Radio News with Rick Vincent.
In a surprising move, National Rifle Association officials announced this morning that Oliver North will not seek a second term as president, as infighting and controversy have taken hold of the gun rights group's annual meeting. In a letter read by the group's vice president, North said that he will not seek re-election as NRA president and went on to attack the NRA law firm that filed a lawsuit against its leading ad firm. The letter said there is a clear crisis at the NRA regarding financial allegations. Hundreds of migrants illegally boarded a train known as the Beast in southern Mexico Thursday in a risky move aimed at transporting them to the U.S. border quicker. Border Patrol Chief Brian Hastings tells Fox News the number of migrants at the southern border has already surpassed all of last year's numbers.
440,000 apprehensions along the southwest border. We need a change in the current outdated laws that we're dealing with for this current demographic and this crisis that we have.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you, we'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
All right, crew, let's get her dug.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
You're listening to RadioLawTalk.com. And now, back to your host, Frederick Penny.
And Denise Dirks is filling in for Fred as the host of this hour. And, Denise, so I apologize. I got a little messed up on my break times there to the affiliates down the line. That's on Cal because I got a little hung up on all excited about an absolute shutout of both Denise and Todd on Case or No Case.
So, yes, Cal, you did it. And that's what you
sorry
have.
About that.
That's what you are always wanting to do is to fool everybody on our panel.
That's how I win. Yeah. So.
Okay. So let's talk now about Lori Loughlin and the academic scandal that is happening and started in 2018. So let's talk about that going on. So what happened is that the scam became to light in 2018. Because the there was a coach from Yale, Rudy Meredith, who offered to give a seat at the Ivy League college to one deep-pocketed father. And that father paid $450,000 to get his child into that college. So what happened at the time was the Meredith had this kind of a relationship with this financial advisor, and that financial advisor was being investigated by the FBI. The financial advisor decided he would turn and he would cooperate with the FBI, and he in turn turned in Meredith. Meredith in turn turned in and began to cooperate with the FBI, and he was cooperating witness along with Rick Singer, who was the mastermind behind this whole scam. And it was like it came down so incredibly quick. There was 50 parents that were indicted. Some of them pled guilty to probably most often to protect their children from this thing. And I do believe at least some of them entered plea agreements literally to keep their children from having any criminal action brought. So what happens now? What's happening now is that Lori Loughlin and her husband have pled not guilty. One of their daughters, we don't know which one yet, have both been, accepted into USC, saying they're part of a rowing crew, and they've never been part of the crew, and one of them now got an FBI notice of intent to charge with criminal conduct. So the other remaining parents that have not pled guilty and the prosecutors and the defense attorneys are all working together to come up with a protective order. And that would have the protective order would protect private information like medical records, different types of things protected under HIPAA laws. Also, it's going to protect the children who are adults now, in that their academic records and their files and all these different confidential records, usually they're not going to be allowed to be publicized. And the evidence will either be sealed incompletely or at least sealed partially to protect different privacy rights and also different public policy concerns.
One thing to keep in mind with regard to criminal prosecution is that obviously the defense records, everything in a defense attorney's file is not public record, protected by the attorney-client privilege. The information that's in the prosecutor's file while the case is pending, that also is attorney-client privilege and not subject to Freedom of Information Act requests while the trial is pending. When I was a DA, we would get requests all the time from news agencies wanting information about this, information about that, and the standard response from the entity that I worked for was part of an ongoing investigation, part of an ongoing case, can't go ahead and give you any information. Cal.
Now, the most common release that is given out is the actual police report. So the cops will do their first report on scene, and then they'll do a summary report, and that's now much more commonly released than it used to be. Those are very commonly released, and that's really been a step forward for news agencies because, we'd be kind of boxed into this little corner of this preliminary report that may or may not even be an accurate summation of what the officers observed. So finally we get the summation report that has a summary of the interviews and all of that stuff, so it's much more helpful.
Exactly. But the next question is, well, what about the court file? See, the court file is public record, okay? And so oftentimes people can go in, they got the case number, they can get access to a court's file. Now, what if in the course and scope of, what are you going to see in the court's file? Well, you're going to see everything that's unsealed. So you'll see the complaint, you'll see any moving papers, documents, you'll see motions that were filed. And what if as part of these motions, as part of any motion filed by the prosecution or the defense, they want as an exhibit something that would have otherwise been under seal? Okay? So the procedure here, by saying that this is now under seal, means that the court has to go in, and anything that gets filed, if it has documentation that's under seal, that gets put into a separate part of the folder. So it's not, in no small concern here, inadvertently disclosed to the public who might come in to see the public record.
Yeah, what prompted this protective order is that the defendants have asked for all of the evidence now as against them from the prosecution. And there apparently is a lot of recordings. There are a lot of different types of records that could be protected or private under different theories. And the good thing is that the prosecution and the defense are working together in advance of this disclosure of all these documents, and this discovery is really what it's called, to protect different interests that may or may not be involved in this case.
But is potential embarrassment a cause to seal up a court case? Because it seems to me this is very much one of the motivations of the defendants here, is to avoid their being embarrassed once they realize, because they said before they didn't even realize they were breaking the law. Now, once they realize they were breaking the law, is it possible that their embarrassment over all of this could be a reason they've asked for it to be sealed?
Well,
it could be that they may feel like they're going to be found guilty in public opinion, but I really think what's motivating them most are the adult children. They're trying to protect these adult children, because remember, some of these adult children did not know, and they have not been charged, and other of the adult children knew. And they may be charged.
Oh, some did not know their parents were cheating for them.
Absolutely. Yeah. And right now, there's no criminal charges against any of those adult children.
Right.
But soon there will be, because there's been a target letter already sent.
So how many defendants do we have out there, parents that have that didn't take a deal? If there's more than one set of parents, wasn't it like half a dozen or a dozen or so folks out there that still? What are the reasons when you have multiple defendants? One of the reasons that you have a motion to seal like this is that each defendant has a different defense that they are alleging is their defense to the charged crimes. That's why you can't have the same attorney representing everybody, because what might be an issue for defendant number A is not an issue for defendant B. Okay? So you have this discovery that's going out about multiple defendants going to multiple individuals, and the only way that they can ensure that this stuff doesn't get out is, let's say, something that goes out about defendant A's children might be something that's beneficial if it got into the press for defendant B. But then it would harm defendant A from a factual standpoint if it got out. The easiest way to take care of this is if everybody has an order that all of this information is to remain confidential, can't be used, while the case is pending, because it could taint a jury, it could affect the defense, it could affect their Sixth Amendment right to defend themselves, and it's just cleaner if an order like that exists.
And also, Denise, isn't it true that many times when there's a group of co-defendants or people charged in the same case, they sort of turn into rats biting off each other's leg and try to say, well, they were worse than me. In other words, try to push what they think is the worst player forward so they don't look so bad.
I think they would, all of them would have an interest in, trying to differentiate their own bad behavior from others, for sure.
We saw this in the special counsel Mueller investigation. There were, you go after Manafort, you go after Cohen, you go after all these individuals, and they kept putting the sentencing off for Flynn and everybody. And the idea behind that is the more pressure you put on different defendants, the more they have an incentive to turn on the one person that they're actually trying to get. It's a common technique. Cohen turned on Trump and said a bunch of things, and it's not unreasonable to think that could be going on here.
So far, 15 other parents have signed on this protective order, and we're going to find them, but not Lori Loughlin or her husband yet. So we have to take a break now, folks. Stay with us. We'll be back with more entertainment and more information for you.
You're listening to Radio Law Talk, and we are grateful for that. And you're hearing us on your favorite radio station, of course, and also on RadioLawTalk.com. If the show's not playing at a convenient time, go over there and stream previous episodes. We'll be right back.
All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com.
Jason Ross back here with
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now, no other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Maybe not today. Maybe not tomorrow. But soon, you'll need a plan in place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement? You bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Okay, so a watch is good, and some jewelry. Better grab some flowers, too.
Hey, what you doing?
Mother's Day, remember?
Oh, yeah.
So I'm making lists, gotta plan a trip to the store, then need to save all the receipts in case she wants to return.
You know there's an easier way, right?
I'm guessing you do?
Yes, and I'm gonna show you the easy, quick way to shop for Mom and save 30% at sunshine-pillows.com.
Ah, pillows.
Mm-hmm.
Great idea.
Oh, not just pillows. Sunshine-pillows.com has the best selection of custom heated neck wraps and heated neck pillows.
She always says she has stress.
And aches and pains, right? Look, they have hot and cold therapy products.
Ooh, it says we can buy any select combo up to $150 and get 30% off.
Yep, just use this promo code MOM30.
You know, for a little brother, you're pretty smart.
Get something for every mom on your list and save 30% when you spend up to $150 on any select combo. Now through Mother's Day only at sunshine-pillows.com. Use promo code MOM30. Sunshine-pillows.com. Your complete line of therapeutic pillows and pads.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine Tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
Hear past episodes of Radio Law Talk on RadioLawTalk.com. Just click on the podcast tab. Happy listening.
Radio Law Talk.
Welcome back to Radio Law Talk. We are talking today about your First Amendment rights. We are also talking about the right to privacy and when you have an expectation of privacy, when you have property that you can protect from being trespassed upon, and all that type of stuff. It's going to be great, huh, Todd?
It is. You know, it's nice to it's nice sometimes to look back and say, well, why do we have this? Why do the Founding Fathers want this right to be reasonably free from unreasonable search and seizure? It's back because before the United States became the United States, the enforcement officers for the Crown, for England, could just come into your house and search around at any time.
They didn't need a warrant. They didn't need probable cause. They didn't need reasonable suspicion. People could be detained. They could be forced to testify against themselves. You know, they'd have trials done where they couldn't ask any questions. And because of all of that happening and basic rights, you know, not being adhered to, that's why we had the, among other things, the Revolutionary War, and the Founding Fathers put this in the Constitution so that the government couldn't go in and behave this way. And now look, they were very egregious acts that were occurring back in the late 1700s. You know, people were losing their lives, they were being imprisoned, they were doing things, and
their homes were being raided, and
exactly,
you know, all the things that they held so dear to themselves were being just, you know, abused by the government.
Exactly. And probably the least of the worries that they had were that somebody acting on behalf of the crown would come over and make a small mark on the wheel of their carriage to see if it had been parked in front of the pub too long. And that, you know, that's probably not one of the issues that was high on the list. You know, I'm guessing that didn't come up in the Constitutional Congress. You know, we need to protect against the ability to have our carriage taken if it's there too long.
And yet, it is an impact on your effects or papers, is it not?
It is.
That is what the court has ruled. And this is the history behind this story we're going to come up. There was a person in Michigan. She had been cited no less than 15 times for parking violations by the same parking enforcement officer. And she felt that that was egregious.
Well, he or she had it in for her.
Oh, yes.
Get that figured out.
Yeah, this happened in Arvada, Colorado in 2014.
Now, let's see. Actually, now the one I'm looking at
was
Michigan. It was Allison Taylor, a Michigan woman whom the court describes as a frequent recipient of parking tickets. It was in Saginaw, Michigan. And so, so what we have, though, is that we've all seen this. We've all seen this. The parking enforcement, you know, that little three-wheeled motorized vehicle that goes by, and they've got this really long stick with a piece of chalk, and they go by and they mark your tire. They mark everybody's tire going down these rows where it's like 2 hour minimum parking, you know, and they mark it and they have in their logbook, well, okay, I went down and marked everybody's tire at 1 p.m. And then they come back at, you know, 3:30 p.m., clearly more than 2 hours after, and anybody still parked in a spot that has a marking where it's at gets a ticket for exceeding the amount of time they were supposed to be there.
If it's at the same clock position, because the officer has to be able to establish, well, they put the mark at the bottom of the tire. If you move your car, it's going to be in a different place.
Exactly.
Right? So some people just move their car up a little bit and back a little bit. But I'm fascinated about the row between the parking offender, allegedly, and the officer, and what this person was doing for employment. It could have been they worked downtown in a store, and there was no place for them to park. I'm just curious how that all began and how it grew to 15 tickets in a fairly short period of time.
Yeah, all by the same enforcement officer, Tabitha Hoskins. Yeah.
Now I will say this. I know we don't give advice on Radio Law Talk, but just as a general guideline, if you want to avoid being harassed, I'm using that in air quotes, by a law enforcement officer for the same violation of the law repeatedly, it's probably a good idea for you to not violate that ordinance of the law. Because one thing that Allison Taylor was not arguing was that she was not in violation of laws. There was nothing in there saying, but I wasn't parking there illegally. She was just upset that she got caught 15 times.
Well, you've got to make sure that you argue a constitutional violation if you are violating the law.
Exactly. It's easier said than done. I went to broadcasting school, pardon me, in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And it was downtown. And it was in a multi-story building, and there was no parking in this building. And I had to park on the street. And every day, I got a parking ticket. It was 4 hours I was in class, then I'd leave and come back. And every day, I got a parking ticket because there was no place else to park. I didn't know what else to do. I lived so far away, I couldn't, there was no mass transit. I had no choice but to park. I had to go to school, and even especially in the winter in Milwaukee. You've been there then? Anyway, the point is, right? So I can kind of relate to what she went through here.
And I think the court could too, because this is what the court ruled. Now, and it's based upon another case. Previous to this, the court had ruled that law enforcement officers violate your constitutional rights if they put a GPS tracker on your car without a warrant. Okay, so they can't just come up to your car, pop the GPS tracker on, and then follow around. I was watching a TV show the other day where somebody said, well, we got to get a warrant to do this. And the guy, it was Mark Harmon, so it was NCIS. He says, we don't have time to get a warrant. We need to get this case solved. And then they go ahead and do this. And I'm sitting here going, well, if you didn't get the warrant, you did that, then all the evidence that you got as a result of doing that is going to be suppressed. So you just shot yourself in the foot.
Fruit
of the poisonous tree. But, right. You know, apparently that doesn't make its way through Hollywood. But anyway, so the court said you can't put a GPS tracker on a car. And in this case, the individual, what's her name again? Allison Taylor, in essence, argued the same thing. That, well, if you can't put a GPS tracker on the car, marking the tire with chalk is just as much an invasion and intrusion and trespass on my property. It's my car, it's my tire. And if you don't have a warrant, how are you getting away with marking the tire? And the court said unanimously, we agree.
What a great question.
We agree.
I mean, it seems like a little thing. And when I brought this up on my radio show, people said the very same thing. Well, just don't violate the law. Well, no. The same thing goes for police. They can't just violate the law because you're violating the law.
Exactly.
So you've got to look at both sides of that.
Well, right? And that gets back to what we talked about earlier in this show. If it weren't for defendants and defense attorneys, when would this issue ever be brought up before a court to allow a judge to say, that process is inadmissible or inappropriate in the Constitution?
Yeah.
And so when you ask what I do when I go over from being a prosecutor to a defense attorney, that is a major responsibility, sort of an unwritten rule, but the responsibility falls on the shoulders of defense attorneys to be the check on constitutional parameters that law enforcement uses.
Now, this is a U.S. Court of Appeals Sixth Circuit case, and it went before a 3-judge panel, and that affects Michigan, Ohio, Kentucky, and Tennessee. So this is an interesting case, and if we start to get another circuit that has a difference of opinion, then the chances are very likely it's going to end up getting up to the U.S. Supreme Court for an ultimate decision on this.
But there were news stories all across the country of police departments saying, well, we're going to have to learn to deal with this parameter because obviously a precedent, I mean, if it's done by, it's not a precedent-setting case for the whole nation, but it wasn't a narrow ruling. It was for the whole principle of chalk on a tire, right?
So that's an interesting point. That's an interesting point that you bring up, Cal. So let's look at it this way. This comes up a lot with clients that I deal with. If you're in trial and your trial court rules something, I'm in trial on a DUI and the judge rules something on a DUI, that ruling by the judge applies to that case and that case only, has no precedential value on anything beyond that case. If that ruling gets appealed to the appellate court in California, then the appellate court makes a decision, that is binding in California, and it is what's called persuasive authority in other jurisdictions. This here, though not necessarily binding, it's binding in the Sixth Circuit, but outside the Sixth Circuit, it is persuasive authority, and if it's well-reasoned, people are going to have to follow it, and I think it was well-reasoned, and cops, I think, are wise to start now rather than basing a bunch of cases on it and then having it overturned later.
We're at the end of our second hour already. Wow, did time fly. Stay with us. We're going to start our third hour in just a few minutes.
That son of a Saginaw.
This is Radio Law Talk. We'll be right back.
To claim his daughter's hand.
You have been listening to RadioLawTalk.com, a copyrighted presentation of Radio Law Talk Incorporated.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women.
I've probably noticed in the past 5 years that my eyes have gained a lot of fine lines, wrinkles, my crow's feet have gotten deeper. Wow. I was hoping for 5 years, but that's like what my eyes looked like 10 years ago.
That is really cool. Wrinkle gone?
It's easy. You just put it on your finger and go. Now I wish I had more down here because I can still see one wrinkle. It's bugging me.
I am a little bit emotional. Turning 40, I didn't think would be a big deal to me, but that looks like the me that I feel like inside instead of what I see when I look in the mirror.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.